And a not too painful departure from Goloka Dham. This morning when I was coming to the temple, I met one of the devotees from London, one of you, and we were just talking. And as we were talking, we heard this amazing concert of the birds. Maybe you have also noticed as you go through the project or in the nearby forests, there is a whole concert going on all day practically, because the birds, I think, are very happy that soon the cold season is over and it's easier for them to exist. And as I was doing the offering of obeisances, and I heard so many birds were enlivened by our kirtan. They just chanted back, "We can also sing. Listen. They were singing. So, but I think the magic of Goloka Dham is not primarily in its beautiful surrounding, in the forests, the river which is flowing through the project, and so on. Really, the life force of Goloka Dham are two. The first, it's the deities, and second, it's the devotees. There is a very wonderful relationship between the deities, Radha Madan Mohan, and the devotees who worship them. And I know of this relationship personally because I stayed for about 10 years or so. I lived here on the project in the back, in the little house which is there. And I noticed that there is something extraordinary about Radha Madan Mohan. They may be, for our eyes, small in size. Krishna is always Krishna. He has his size, and Radharani has its size. The whole universe can fit in one of his breaths. It's a huge size. So, but for our eyes, Radha Madan Mohan may be small in size, but their heart is so big. They are very merciful to anyone who comes out in, I think, the somewhat remote situation. We are not living just in a big town or very close to a big town. The towns are relatively small which are around us. So they're somewhat remote situation makes them very happy when someone makes the effort to come to them. That's always what I felt. They are grateful. "Oh, you have come. You have come. I was looking down the path in the direction of London, but you did not come. But now you have come. Thank you so much. Welcome, welcome. All auspiciousness to you. May only the best things happen in your life." And I think it is, I do not know the mind of the Lord so well, but what I really have seen is that they are extraordinary merciful. And I would like to encourage you to see if you can purchase a picture of them, a photography. I know the devotees have beautiful calendars here with Radha Madan Mohan prominently featured. Maybe a calendar, and you can take them with you to London and look at them from time to time. I'm aware that we have beautiful deities in London, Radha Gokulananda and Radha London Ishvara. I'm not saying that they are, I mean, one deity is more than another deity, or so that is, it's the same Krishna who manifests. But what I'm trying to say is that there is a charm around Radha Madan Mohan, which is different from the charm which Radha Gokulananda have and Radha London Ishvara. And the sum total of Krishna's charm, Vrindavan charm, Dwaraka charm, you know, the sum total is so attractive and will fill our heart and drive away all the misery and the lamentation and the fear which we have. So, Hare Krishna. We will sing now Jaya Radha Madhava, and then I will give my very important presentation. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Hari. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada. Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada. Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan. Radha Madan Mohan Ti Radhe. Jaya Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paravrajakacharya Astata Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Sila Ave Charana Ravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Once again, it's difficult to see now. Yes, it's a little thin. Then you have to be thick in your inner imagination of the verse. You just listen and it will somehow go. Don't worry. Yogaya Sankhya Shirase Prakritishvaraya. Yogaya Sankhya Shirase Prakritishvaraya. Narayanaya Haraye Nama It Yudaram. Narayanaya Haraye Nama It Yudaram. Hasyam Mrigat Vam Apiya Samu Dajahara. Hasyam Mrigat Vam Apiya Samu Dajahara. One more time, please. Asyan Mrigatvam Apiya Samudajara Asyan Mrigatvam Apiya Samudapara Yagyaya Dharma Pataye Viti Nai Punaya Yagyaya Dharma Pataye Viti Nai Punaya Yogaya Sankhya Shirase Prakriti Shvaraya
Yogaya Sankhya Shirase Prakriti Shvaraya
Narayanaya Hadaye Nama Ityudaram Asyan Mrigatvam Apiya Samudapajahara
Asyan Mrigatvam Apiya Samudajahara
Yagyaya. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys the results of all great sacrifices. Dharmapataye. Unto the Master or Propounder of Religious Principles. Vidinai Punaya, who gives the devotee the intelligence to follow the regulative principles expertly. By now you might have noticed these are all different names of Krishna. Yagyaya, Dharmapataye, Vidinai Punaya, all names. And you will be amazed to hear at the end who was singing these names. Yogaya,
Yogaya,
the personification of mystic yoga. Sankhya Shirase,
Sankhya Shirase,
who taught the Sankhya philosophy, or who actually gives knowledge of Sankhya to the people of the world, Prakriti Ishvaraya, the supreme controller of this cosmic manifestation. Narayanaya, the resting place of the innumerable living entities. In brackets, Prabhupada adds, Nara means the living entities and Ayana means the shelter. Narayan, the shelter of the living entities. Next name is Haraye. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Hari. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Iti.
Thus.
Udaram.
Very loudly.
Asyan. Smiling. Mrigatvam api.
Although in the body of a deer.
Yaha. Who? Samudajahara. Chanted. Translation. actually it's easier to understand the translation if we recognize the context. It is like this, that the king of the world, and or by whom this whole planet was known as Bharatvarsha, this king's name was Bharata, and he had renounced at one stage, when he was actually quite young still, his opulent kingdom, his palaces, the royal throne, and had gone for self-realization into the forest, where he practiced severe austerity and meditation. So he, but while this happened, unfortunately, he was caught in a great affection to a little deer who took shelter in his ashram, because its mother had been killed by a tiger. So he became very attached to the deer, so much so that he neglected and then even forgot his spiritual practices. And as a result, he was reborn as a deer. So now we will hear about his death in the form of a deer, when he was, you know, when his time came in his deer body. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharata did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer: "The Supreme Personality of God is sacrificed, personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems. He is the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the super soul in every living entity. That Supreme Lord is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances unto Him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in His transcendental loving service." Uttering this, Maharaj Bharata gave up his body. These were his last words. Famous last words, really. He is beautiful and attractive. The Lord is beautiful and attractive. I'm quitting this body, offering obeisances unto Him, and hoping, it's my hope, I have this hope, that I may perpetually engage in His transcendental loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharata left his body. Purport. The entire Vedas are meant for the understanding of karma, jnana, and yoga, fruitive activities, speculative knowledge, and mystic yoga. Whatever way of spiritual realization we accept, the ultimate goal is Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entities are eternally connected with Him via devotional service. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ante Narayana Smriti, the perfection of life is to remember Narayan at the time of death. Although Bharata Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer, he could remember Narayana at the time of death. Consequently, he took birth as a perfect devotee in a Brahmana family. This confirms the statement of Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. One who falls from the path of self-realization takes birth in a family of Brahmanas or wealthy aristocrats. Although Maharaj Bharata appeared in the royal family, he became neglectful and took birth as a deer. Because he was very cautious within his body of a deer, he took birth in a Brahmin family as Yadabharat. During this lifetime, he remained perfectly Krishna conscious and preached the gospel of Krishna consciousness directly. Who was his first disciple? Do you remember? To whom did Maharaj Bharata preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness? It was a king? Yes. King Rahugala. Thank you. Yes. So during this lifetime he remained perfectly Krishna conscious and preached the gospel of Krishna consciousness directly, beginning with his instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. In this regard, the word yogaya is very significant. The purpose of Ashtanga Yoga, as stated by Madhvacharya, is to link or connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goal is not to display some material perfections. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Askatyane Zataline Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Maybe 30 years ago, when I was young, I had a great doubt. And I would like to raise this doubt in the face of this verse. You know, the verse says that a deer chanted at the time of his death names of God like Narayanaya Haraye, Narayan Hari. How is a deer tongue able to pronounce syllables like this? According to the research of the deers, there are no speaking deers. Maybe there are parrots who can speak, but deers have vocal cords and a tongue which is simply not equipped to say holy names. So I was taking this concept further. I thought the tongue, which is material, cannot chant a transcendental name. It cannot produce Krishna. We hear the name Krishna is identical with the form Krishna. So how can a material tongue, this was my doubt, produce God? The material tongue can produce some saliva and some white covering which you have to scratch away with a tongue scraper in the morning. And the material tongue can vibrate la, 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 and make some sound like hello or welcome or goodbye or bus or stone. But how can it produce the God? You know, how is this possible? The Brahma Sanghita, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jiva Goswami says there, it confirms it, but gives us answer to this question. The confirmation is because the name, form, and other attributes of Sri Krishna are transcendental, they are imperceptible by material senses. You know, just like the eye cannot see sound, or even a better example, the eye cannot see the soul, because the soul is transcendental. This verse says material senses cannot really perceive or what to say of produce a transcendental entity. But then this verse, it's a verse by Rupa Goswami, says, but when a devotee offers the self in full devotion, then only do the name and the other attributes manifest themselves of their own accord on the tongue and other senses. No? So, yes, we cannot ascend to Krishna. Prabhupada once said, your tongue cannot chant Krishna's name, but Krishna can descend. That means he can come down and manifest on the tongue. Therefore, in this form, Krishna is known as a Naam. What's the word for Naam Avatar? I thought this was Yogesh speaking. Our philosophy. Naam Avatar. The name is an avatar. It comes, or he comes from the material, from the spiritual world into the material world. My dear devotees, many devotees nowadays invite the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band to sing in Kirtan. Many, so many invitations, and we cannot follow them all. And we know, I had this feeling in Lithuania. Maybe you don't know where it is. I also didn't know where it is. It's somewhere north from here. It's a country. So we were invited to Lithuania. There was a summer camp. It was at a beautiful place at a really nice lake. Devotees were able to bath in the lake, although I found it very cold, but these are Vikings. You know, the Lithuanians are from the northern hemisphere. They find it very comfortable in cold water. So we had in the evening kirtans. During the day we had different seminars, and in the evening we had kirtans. And we had been invited to give seminars and also kirtans. So we were sometimes, not all the times, there were other also very talented kirtan singers. Sometimes we were singing in the evening, and there was one kirtan I will not forget. We were just singing, I was a little tired, my voice was, as usual, as unmelodious as the voice of a frog. But I was trying my best. All of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. The young Bhakta could feel it. The birds in the trees surrounding the event hall, it was a big open hall. The birds in the trees could feel it. The donkey down the road could feel it. Lithuania, very simple country. The young Bhaktin could feel it. The old Prabhupada disciple could feel it. All of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. And we felt, this is now no longer Lithuania. This is spiritual, it's very spiritual. And we felt, oh, we could just chant like this until the end of our days. That would be the most glorious way to spend our time. And then when we die, let us die in this kirtan. Like this, we felt. What had changed? Well, we were trying to chant with our, by flapping our tongues, by using our vocal cords on our own. We had produced some sound, but that sound is not Krishna necessarily. When Krishna chooses to descend, because the devotee offers himself in full devotion to him, then only the name and the other attributes of Krishna, means form, qualities, and even pastimes, manifest themselves. They come of their own accord on the tongue or other senses. You can also, when Krishna manifests himself in this material atmosphere, it is described, then you can see him with these senses, which usually are not equipped to see the Lord and have direct darshan. You can chant, you can feel his presence with the senses on your tongue. But it's only when Krishna comes. I always ask the question, not so much the question, do devotees come to the kirtan? This is a very important question also. But a different question of great importance is, does Krishna come to the kirtan? Does Krishna come to the kirtan? And I think yesterday in the evening, when you all chanted in a very focused way, gone was your usual distractive mood. You were really there before the deities and later before Srila Prabhupada. Then we could feel the atmosphere was changing. And some of you might have thought, well, what's different? I feel so Krishna conscious now. My God, even I can feel Krishna consciousness. I don't believe it. And so on. This is because the holy name has manifested a little bit on his own account by his own will. No, could you feel yesterday? I'm not asking this in a hype. If you couldn't feel it, don't raise your hand or say Hari Bol. But could some of you feel this yesterday? It was a special atmosphere. No, no, we're not saying in a hype that we imagine something which is not true, but just to make a good atmosphere, we say it. No, that's not what we do in London. We are to the point, and we explain everything as it is. We could feel yesterday. There was something different. Nishkinchan? You also felt. I also could feel. Vidanga Prabhu, you could feel also? Something was... Yes. Good. I have later... So this was my doubt. How can Krishna... Can the tongue produce or with so material? But then I understood from this verse, later this verse was shown to me, that yes, it's true, the transcendental Lord is imperceptible by material senses, and he cannot be produced or perceived. But when a devotee offers himself in full devotion, then only do the name and the attributes of the Lord manifest themselves of their own accord on the tongue and other senses. Now there is another doubt which I would raise, but first of all, there is a child speaking. I know the mother is very happy that the child starts to communicate, maybe. Soon there will be intelligent words, but we are trying to have a lecture here. So maybe when the child feels very talkative, we can go with him somewhere else and talk more freely in public.
In the library, one can hear the lecture.
Yeah,
as well.
Mataji, there is. If you go up the stairs, there is on the right side the library. There you can hear. It is there. Good. Good. So there is another doubt. Okay, Maharaji, we have understood from this word Krishna can come down and manifest himself. But tell us one thing. If the holy name is so powerful and so glorious, why do people not feel its potency always, even after daily chanting? Why is this an isolated event? Why did we feel it yesterday on Easter Sunday in the evening, but why don't we feel it today in the morning? You know, what is there? And I met one devotee who came to me in confidence and said, "Can I talk to you, Maharaj? But can we talk alone?" I said, no problem, we can talk alone. I met some older devotees, this devotee said. And do you know what? No, I don't know. They discouraged me. Because they said, these older devotees, "I'm chanting, but I don't feel anything, even after 40 years. So this is my second doubt. Why can't we always perceive the holy name? Why don't we feel the potency of the holy name if he is so powerful and so glorious? And here is something which is a very serious. Therefore, I thought it's good if the child is not here because it might disturb its tender child nature, this information. This is a very heavy information which I will give you now. Fasten your seatbelts, please. My dear devotees and my dear skeptics, you can't feel the power of the holy name always because you commit offenses. Yes. You do things very wrong which disturb Krishna, and therefore he does not want to come. He thinks, why should I go to this place? It smells there. The offenses. Very bitter, sour, acidic taste. Aparad is made. No, then the Lord will not come. Chanting is meant to please Krishna, and when we chant and make offenses, this displeases Krishna, and Krishna only comes when he is pleased, not when he is displeased. Then he stays away. No? He does not come. when he is displeased. Haridas Thakur gives an example of this. Or actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when a servant makes a grave offense against the master, he may talk bad, he may take a preparation like halava, no, like shrikant, and throw it into the face of the master. What did I do wrong? It's such good shrikant. Then the master will no longer maintain the servant. He will maintain him just barely, that he does not have to suffer from hunger and thirst, but he will not give him good payment, and he will not give him a good food, maybe some rice or some simple khichdi, but not more. No? So in the same way, when a devotee turns against the master by committing offenses and displeasing him, then the good master still keeps him. He still can somehow go on and live and exist, but he doesn't reward him beyond the minimum of maintenance. No? Then the devotee just somehow can live, but he does not feel the ananda of Krishna consciousness, the happiness. Now, of all the offenses which we can make, I would like to just mention two. One is outside of the direct chanting, and one is during the chanting. The offense outside, which is very commonly made and which is has a very bad effect, is offenses against devotees. Means to talk bad about them, to act bad against them. That's one thing. I think you have heard many lectures on this, and I don't want to repeat my earlier colleagues, so to say, who talked about it. The mistake or the offense which you can do during the chanting, which in fact is known as the source of all the other offenses, it's the root cause of everything else, is you are inattentive during chanting. And that's something which we very, very commonly do. We, during the kirtan, we take out our little distraction monsters called mobile telephones. We look, is there finally a new text? Why is no one texting me? Am I so uninteresting? And so on. We look there or text, or we are just 3,000 light years away from the mantra, because our mind has taken us somewhere in some thought, which became another thought, and another thought, and another thought, and finally pulled me out of the chanting. No? So the mind is so tricky. You chant, and then you look, oh, look at this chatter. That chatter is the best of chatters. I wonder where he got it from. Most probably from Loi Bazaar. Loi Bazaar, I remember Loi Bazaar. There's a fruit stall where I always drink my fruit juice. And now next to it, there is a sweet shop with so many flies on the sweet. How can people in India eat these sweets? They are really disease pure. Disease. And you're gone from the chanting. Miles away, light years away from the holy name. This is called inattention by chanting. And it is a very common thing. And the mind is really, the mind thinks, oh, yes, I know this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, etc. I know. Let me give, please, I have time. Also there, please, some entertainment, not something to think. This is a thought. I can say this mantra in my sleep. I don't need to think. Am I here or am I not here? I want to be engaged. I want to be engaged. I want to do something. And then the mind just... I think you know what I mean. It's a very... Therefore, what did Sutapa Babu teach us? Attention, attention. No? Remember? Attention, attention. He told us that this is most properly one of the greatest problem which we have, the inattention. No? And he, remember how he showed us the thing with the gorilla? I knew already about the gorilla, so I saw him immediately, but I'm sure if I would not have seen him, my attention would not be strong enough to see the gorilla on the... Yes, Sutapa has explained very nicely to all of us. We have learned very expertly from him. So, yes, this is a little bit my point. But if you learn, my dear devotees, to turn to Krishna, then you will actually experience something unprecedented. I would like to show you again the picture which we showed you. It is showed a little bit the dynamics of transformation. Remember, we were discussing this yesterday. Yesterday, my God, yesterday seems already 180 years in the past, you know. They're so full each day that already 1 hour back is a mill. You know, there's so many. Okay, this is about when you want to change something. And I want to make this point now again very clear so that you can take something away from Goloka Dham. When you feel in your heart that my life has strong limitations and I'm no longer satisfied, something happens, you look for a new life. And you stop a little bit your old life, you're no longer so interested because you're dissatisfied. And then you go towards what we could have called the still point. You could also call it the unknown, a place which is unknown. It's also known as a liminal space. Huh? You go into this, and if you like when you came to Goloka Dham, many of you did not know the place, nor did you exactly know what would be the program and what would happen and how you would feel. Maybe you thought, well, we go to Germany, no one will understand us, or they will be extremely impolite, they hate foreigners, they are just so bad, these Germans. We have read in the Guardian everything, guard yourself from the Germans. So you came on a retreat, huh? And your old life, you left it behind. Well, it came with you in your mobile telephones, but you switched it out sometimes. That is called the still point. Now, if during this time, when you leave the old behind and go into the space where you are not yet know what will come, all types of possibilities are open to you. All types of possibilities. I see this, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I left my school behind, I left my friends behind. You know, they didn't come with me. Well, we had a huge program in the school where the whole school was assembled. And I took the devotees into my school, and we had a wonderful chanting program with all my friends and everyone there. It was so full, they all wanted to see what is he getting into. they saw. Good. So I remember that time when everything was new and I was not a known person. I was an unknown person. And at that time, the devotees were not very kind to new bhaktas. When you made one mistake, you were chastised like anything. I remember I took once the Krishna book with me in the bathroom, and I was, when I was doing my private sitting session, I was reading, because that is what I was accustomed to. That was the time I was most peaceful, when I was in that room, you know. And I came out, I felt so happy with Krishna's pastimes. I was singing, and I had the Krishna book, and one devotee saw me coming out with the sacred Krishna book under the arm. He asked, "Did you take the book inside?" I said, "Yes," and I had a wonderful reading session. The devotee paled. "You took the Krishna book on a mushy place. What's a mushy place?" Okay. And then he gave me such In South Africa, it's a "what's happened." You know, it means he took his hand. How do you call it? And slap in the face. And I said, "Could you please do it again?" And I went into the Bruce Lee position. Because I had training in street fighting, and I was unconquerable. "Please do it one more time. Because then, by the rule of my martial art training, I can show you all the arts." But he didn't do it. And I was frustrated, because there's a codex. You can only use the techniques when you're really provoked. So I remember that very, 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 very distinctly, you know. They were not so kind. Then the devotee said, "Sit down. The aggression is not the place in the temple. Forgive me, you can't take a sacred book into a holy place. This is a general codex of respect. How can you? The Lord is there, and you know the pictures are there. This is a sacred. How you're so gross." "I'm sorry. What can I do? Teach me. I didn't know these things." So I remember coming to her, and it was not easy for me, because I did not know anything, and I did many mistakes, and I was corrected really with slaps, you know. Not always, but sometimes. Because I was a little temperamental, and I did really bad mistakes. I will not tell you what I... But it was good-hearted. I just didn't know, you know. And I was overwhelmed with memory. What were we talking about? Can someone help me, please? Huh? Still point, yeah, very philosophical point. We talk about bathrooms, I'm sorry. So entering a new new place is a very, very important, because then you can learn new things. If you always remain in the same place and you are full with the same activities, the same thoughts, the same friends, the same old boring story of material conditioning, then nothing will happen to you. But in that still place, in that unknown place, you are dependent on not just knowledge, on a powerful spiritual process that uplifts you and brings you up. See that little arrow there? No, it means to go up again, to go to a known place, to establish yourself again in the known world, not in the underworld, so to say, to do something with your life. No? Coming to the still point doesn't mean to escape. It means to get a new perspective and new inner strength so that you can start in your better life, in your much better life. And this you have to practice. It's the art of transformation, to come again to the beginner's mind. You know, I don't know anything. I need to move forward. Please, I need new information and I need new spiritual enthusiasm and strength. No? That's very, very, very important. If you do not have this strength and this new knowledge, you will not be able to maintain your position for long, because we live in a world which is a challenging world. We need to move on. We need to be on the move or make spiritual progress, as we say. So that which gives you the strength to come and experience a life full of extraordinary possibilities, that is these powerful agents of transformation. And the most powerful, my dear devotees, in the age of Kali, is the chanting of the holy name. There's a verse in the 11th canto which says, those who are actually advanced in knowledge, not some puny intelligent people, but those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. What? We should appreciate the Kali Yuga? Well, not exactly. The essential value. What do you think is valuable in this age? It's a good question, isn't it? What do you think is the essential value? We hear in the Bhagavatam, people are lazy in Kali Yuga. All the atmosphere is polluted with ignorance. It's the worst age, the iron age, the age of forgetfulness. But here the Bhagavatam contradicts that by saying there's one essential value in this age. What could that be? Holy name, yeah, you're very close, but not exactly yet there.
The mercy of Chaitanya.
Mercy of Chaitanya, yeah, that is also there. Yes, there are a few. But this is not part of Kali Yuga. No, the question is, what's the essential value of Kali Yuga? You can't now say, Lord Chaitanya, he is not part of the holy name. It's not part of Kali Yuga. Chanting the holy name, yes. Just by chanting the holy name, that's still not the essential value. You have to learn to think, unfortunately, in Krishna consciousness. We are looking for an essential value in a very bad age. Listen to this. It's when you chant in this age. We're not speaking when you chant in Satya Yuga or not in Dwaraka Yuga. When you chant in this age, wow, then there seems to be a special compensation for you that is Mukti Sangam Param Vrajet. Two things. You will become freed from the clutches of Maya just by doing this one thing. And Param Vrajet, you will receive or achieve the highest goal. That's wonderful. Therefore, people praise the Kali Yuga for a wonderful age. Everything is so simple here. No hard austerities. Oh. You can eat pizza still. Yeah, and Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte. If you don't know what that is, you have to ask Gaur Krishna. He knows from practical experience. You can do all these things. You don't have to be super this, super that, but chant the holy name without offenses and you reach the highest goal. Ah, it's relieving to hear this. So therefore, my dear devotees, I request you, if you forget everything, I think you will forget many things. You will not, hopefully not forget Radha Madan Mohan, but what was said, what Shantanu said, what Sutapa said, attention, maybe you can remember that, but what exactly he said, who's already gone. What Sachinandan Swami said, we can't understand him anyways, he speaks so German in his English. If you forget everything, remember one thing. Find out how the chanting can work for you. We all are special individual people with our own ways of thinking, our own ways of feeling, our own past history. No? We are individuals. We have to see how we can make the chanting work for us. And if we just do that, then we will have the energy to move forward how do you call it? In the Southern Europe, you would call it a graphicon. What is that in English? A diagram. Thank you. Sure. Is it a diagram? It's a diagram. So this diagram, you will move upwards to a better life. You will have changed the old position in your life, and you will come to a very ecstatic life. Maybe you will do a sabbatical. Maybe you will render more service. Maybe you will just stay at home and meet the most wonderful life partner you can imagine, a devotee, a female devotee if you're a man, or if you have that inclination, or a male devotee if you are a lady and you feel you should have a family. But you will progress by the mercy of the holy name will bring you to all your possibilities in your life. Huh? Because your old karma, you go out of this old karma which you have and are ready to start an exciting new life. It was a pleasure to have you here in Goloka Dham. You were really fitting in the atmosphere. Please convince Shantanu that he makes another journey and not too far away of a distance. Please come again and again. This is your home. We have a guest house with amazing guest rooms. The showers are sometimes not so hot after 50 people have used it, but they are all right when not so many people are there. You can come with your family. You can feast your eyes on the beautiful darshan of Radha Madan Mohan, render some service, and so on. Please do consider it one of your many homes away from home. Away from home. And join us again. I wish you a wonderful time now. We will have time. Well, I have to see our Shantanu. Some questions we can ask. Good. So I'm here. I have finished what I wanted to say. Well, I wanted to say much more. It's all in notes, but sometimes less is more. Anyone has a question? Please ask your question now. Yes, Amartati has a question.
I don't mean to be offensive in any way or shape, but this the whole idea about offences against devotees worries me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to misinterpret your intention. Sometimes if you see something is not quite right, mm-hmm. and it can be improved, is it okay to highlight it in a respectful manner?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. You are thoughtful. What is your profession?
I used to be a teacher.
Yes, I can see immediately.
So I gave up about 7 years.
7 years, yes, I can see. Yeah, Amartati has... I think it is a very important question. It's a very fine question. It's a very... Amartati feels worried about this thing about offenses, because what does this mean? Do we have to just swallow the wrong? I mean, wrong things are naturally done in human society. Nobody is yet perfect, and do we have to just blah blah? Let's not say it, it's otherwise there's offense. It is a fact that many religions speak in a way that guilt comes up and fear comes up, and they don't talk about love. And many people run to these religious leaders who always say, da, 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 this mistake, that mistake you can do. Don't do this. Otherwise you go to hell. And so on. It can stifle your spiritual growth to hear this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you definitely have to follow the voice of your conscience. You know, that unerring little voice. Now, if there is a mistake which is committed, and you have to see how you highlight it. What is your motivation? If you just wish that this is corrected, and you understand this is a person on the spiritual path like I am, you will be able to address it in a way which is, your tongue will not be a razor sharp sword. Your heart will not be an atom bomb which just wants to destroy the person. When you address a mistake in a way as to correct it and not to show malice or hatred or your own hurt, maybe, then it is very much welcome, actually. I would recommend you, because now we talk practically, to see, okay, here's something which I perceive as a mistake. Let me see. What is the most effective way in curing this? If I now talk behind the back against the person, I mean, I know you don't do this, but this is not productive. Let me address it in a way that it can be finished. Now, you have to now judge the situation. Is the person able to take your suggestions, or is he not? If he is not, and you go to him and say, this is a mistake, a grave mistake. The person will most probably explode into your face and it will become an ugly scene. And so at that time, you will have to go, if he's not able to take it, and your decency will be able, you just ask your human experience, what situation is it? Then you have to correct the situation through someone else, maybe a senior, who you have to say, I noticed this and so on, and could you maybe, he won't listen most probably to me, could you hint this out to him? Now, I want to give you an example. When I came here by train and I looked for the you can book your seat in Germany before you go on the train, and we always try to book, find a seat in, it's called the peaceful zone. No one should talks there because they respect that people come, they have to do maybe their work or want to read or want to just relax. But Germans are very loud by nature, and there was a young couple, or I don't know, a boy and a girl, and they were talking, the boy was talking loudly, and I needed to think a little. I had brought literature with me, a very difficult article on you know, how science sees consciousness, and I need to prepare myself for a conference on consciousness in the summer. Akandati Prabhu also will attend this conference, and I'm one of the speakers, so I needed to read this. And I got up and looked around if I go to this person, if I go in Dhoti and tell him, can't you see this is the peaceful zone, he will get on my case. I know this. I have lots of experience. He is very much in his ego, and he speaks loud because he wants it, the attention of others. And if I come to him, he got what he had, and that will be a scene. So I looked around and to find another place which was remote. And then Gokrishna saw me looking around, and he said, well, what are you looking for? I said, another place. And he said, well, should I go to these people and tell them to be please silent? I said, no, you know, we are here devotees. We are dressed as, I'm dressed as a devotee, and they will then talk bad about the Hare Krishnas. So we don't want this, that they talk bad. I can do something else. And then I took earphones and listened to a lecture on the laptop of Gokrishna. But I was thinking the best way to deal with this is if the authority comes, you know, who checks your tickets, because he will respect him and say, you know, this passenger is a nice, has a good heart, but he has maybe not seen that this the peaceful zone. Could you just hint this out to him? And then, you know, it could be corrected. I felt like this very strong, but no authority came. And when I was finished with my lecture, the loud person had run out of subject matter and just stared in his mobile telephone. So, and the distraction monster solved it for me. you know, he was... it was taken care of by Krishna, I guess. then I could do my work. So it's like this. I think I have given an outside example, not from Krishna consciousness, but I think you can relate it to the situation which you face. But by all means, let us what is a society, you know, that would be very unattractive society, where you have to tolerate each one who does bad. What you would do subtly is you would encourage wrongdoing, because no one is allowed to say anything, you know. It's the ideal situation to attract wrongdoers. Yeah. Good.
So when you're doing the beads and that, yeah. So some people are loud, some people are quiet.
Yeah.
Where is the good line? Where is the right way to do it?
Yeah.
This is what I think.
Yeah, wonderful. Yes, you have translated the noisy train compartment to the noisy temple room. where some people just go like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. I know what you are talking about, bro. And at the end, you just want to scream, "Get out of my hair!" Can you please get out of my zone? You know, with your in the nectar of devotion. Rupa Goswami is translated by Srila Prabhupada as saying japa means to chant the holy name in a soft way. Now the Sanskrit is lagu uchate. This is lagu means light, very light. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Not full sound vibration. It's you're not doing japa, you're doing kirtan technically, where you praise the Lord loud, but when one is so loud. I am a sannyasi, you know, everyone respects me when I have my stick, you know, when they recognize that I'm one of those. Otherwise, I'm treated like anyone else. But I have my stick at home. I'm joking. I can say, but I know sometimes you cannot say when there is someone. What to do? What I know when you go, oh, and if he is an older devotee and you go, Prabhu, then he will look at you, who are you, Bhakta so and so, to tell me, the most advanced person in the universe at the moment. I am an older devotee, you know, don't speak to me, you're poisonous. You're such immature. Japa criminals, I call them. Yeah. Well, if you cannot correct him because he is a so-called older devotee, he's not. It's only by years. If he cannot take, he's Srinada P is our value. You know that we are humble, and we should accept. When something is right, then and you just can't go on, then you have to do one of two things. The best thing is if you can become absorbed in your chanting and do not see the and just be with you. That's the best thing. And eventually, my dear devotees, you have to learn this. There's always disturbance in this material world, and if you cannot learn to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then it's very, very difficult. There was once a man who thought it's too loud here, and he wanted to find the idyllic, peaceful place, so he went into the forest to chant. But then the river nearby was so roaring loud that he escaped that place. Then he went up, and then there were always a fly. Then he went still up into the cold area where there was no river, no flies. But then there was the storm. Until he finally understood the message, he should absorb himself. I have personal experience. I go to Vrindavan, and you know, you have the wonderful place to chant, and then just next to the ear a loudspeaker is installed, just next, you know, just then, and then the next moment is very loud Hindi film songs played, you know. Then you go to another place, the village, then you know, you're just sitting down to chant, then they start their machine, tick, 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 which cuts the grass for the cows. So yes, and then you get the notice, maybe I should absorb myself better, you know. That's really, when it comes to spiritual practice, what you should try to learn. If he can't be corrected, Mr. Super Advanced can't be corrected, or Mrs. Super Advanced, then you have to go and chant somewhere where it's peaceful. If you're too disturbed all the time, and then you have images of a rope where you try to strangle the person, or a pistol, or so before you get into the dark areas of your mind, you better go somewhere else. You know?
Because they have enough time to, when they say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, there's enough time for them to shout then. And sing in a nice way. I appreciate to be dancing and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the time
where we can be loud, yes. Yeah, as loud as we want.
Yeah, that's
right. We are even encouraged by the kirtan leader, sing louder. When Radhanath Maharaj leads kirtan, he often says, 100 times louder. Then they go through one mantra. 1,000 times louder. Then they go to the mantra, 10,000 times louder, you know. You can, there's no limit doing kirtan. And it's greatly appreciated when you...
Yesterday was nice.
Yeah.
Feel it. It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a place to come and do it.
Yes,
and
do it.
Do it at home.
Yeah. Why not? Why not at home?
Your neighbors.
No, without amplification you can do.
I like music.
Yeah. What I do is I just sing in the rooms. And then when no one looks, I dance in the room, alone. When I'm alone, you know. Otherwise, it's still a little contested if you should dance on your table. No, singing you can. They will think, wow, he's joyful, our neighbor. But if you have loud music, then it may be disturbing. But singing, I think, is appreciated everywhere. Good. Yes, Hare Krishna Mataji, I see a hand in the back. Let us. But now it's your time. Yes, yes. We will give you a microphone even. Please take the microphone. Yes.
I was intrigued with the statement about right association.
Yeah.
And I've struggled with this idea about having the elite group with the right association. And the non-elite group, how are we inclusive in inviting them to be part of? Do we wait for Krishna to give them that message to join us? Or do we continue the segregation and see them as rejects?
I understand. Yes. Thank you very much for this question. Yeah. In Vaishnavism, there's an instruction how to deal with four types of people. What I was talking yesterday about was when you are on the spiritual path and for your own nourishment you look for like-minded association. Huh? But there are three other forms of association. One association is you go to people who are really who are not at all spiritual, and you give them the association, you give them something to eat, you are kind to them, and so on. This is very important. It's in fact one of the guidelines of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The guideline is to be compassionate to people. Compassion to people who need help. You know, really, really compassion. It's called Jiva Daya. And it's valued so high that it is said it's a dharma, that is the thing to do for those who are Vaishnavas. They should be kind to others. And this is directed really to people who are not, enlightened is who's enlightened, who are not spiritual. No, we don't reject them. We are making efforts to help them in some ways. Even you have seen in London, we have this Food for All program. It really goes to everyone who is mostly destitute people who have nothing to eat, so on. So that's very important. You have, but for your nourishment, that's what I was talking about. These people who don't know anything, they can't give you nourishment. They have no meals, so to say. But for your nourishment, you go and associate with like-minded devotees who also want to progress in spiritual life like you do. And then there is the very advanced devotees, which are very rare. You serve them. You serve them, you try to assist them in their work to do good for others, you know, you serve them. These are three ways to do. And to the Lord, you worship Him. So four types of personalities which we deal with. Mm-hmm. Good, I feel time is also there. So thank you very, very much, and sorry that I didn't see you yesterday, but today I saw you. Hare Krishna. We will now request our Shantanu to give us an orientation.